David Hyde, I'm Marcy Silman. The massive tunnel project in downtown Seattle is behind schedule and $190 million over budget. Even State Transportation Department Director Lynn Peterson is skeptical the project will be back underway next March. Wendy Haynes teaches political science at Bridgewater State University in Massachusetts. She's watched a lot of these mega projects come and go, including Boston's infamous Big Dig. She told me the Seattle problems are nothing unusual.
It's very common. It's more the rule than the exception. It's so that doesn't mean, however, that it's acceptable or that there aren't things that can be done to mitigate the likelihood of cost overruns and being behind on the schedule.
Well, in Seattle, the contractor, the builder, actually asked for an additional $190 million to cover change orders. The state denied most of those. It's likely it'll go to court. Is that an abnormally large amount of money?
It depends upon what you're comparing it to. It's not uncommon for contractors to go in for a total of 10 to 20% of their original contract, and then it's up to the owner agency, and in this case, I think it's your State Department of Transportation, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Then it's up to the owner agency to hold the contractor's feet to the fire, and it is one of the intriguing and at times really frustrating for the public and for, I think, public leaders to have to go through that process.
One of the things, I did speak with the Secretary of Transportation for the state of Washington yesterday, and I think she's taking a kind of get tough line, not only denying the change orders, but at this point talking about the daily charge that will be put to the contractor, because she's fairly certain that there's no way that they could make the contracted deadline for completion of the project. But it got me to wondering, the Big Dig, I know, which is in your backyard, sort of,
right,
was also far delayed and well over budget. Is there any comparison between these two projects?
I think there is at several different levels. One is that both of the projects are in areas where the subsurface conditions aren't necessarily completely known. And what happens, and I don't know if this happened in Washington or not, but certainly in Massachusetts, there were judgment calls made about how much testing would be done of the soil conditions. And in some cases, they made decisions not to do the amount of testing that might have revealed some of those subsurface conditions. So I don't know if that's going on in Washington, but it created huge issues here in the Big Dig project. So the Big Dig project was originally estimated to cost about $2.6 billion, but it eventually cost $15 billion.
Oh my gosh, that's quite a bit more. I think that right now what's budgeted here is a little more than $2 billion, but that's not going to be, there's no way that this will come in. And it sounds like from what you said earlier that these budget and scheduling over optimistic estimates are common. So why, if we know that, why are we using we in the royal sense? Why are we using those kinds of figures and timetables when we absolutely are certain that those are wrong?
Well, a guy by the name of David Luberoff, who was up at the Taubman Transportation Center in Boston, asked the question about whether the political climate, in essence, forces project managers or public leaders to lie about or deliberately underestimate time and cost. And then the story unfolds, and it ends up costing substantially more, in part because of the schedule delays, but also because of unanticipated conditions and just the passage of time and inflation and those sorts of things.
The idea that public leaders are lying or I guess blue skying is a nicer way of saying lying when it comes to politicians. Is that because they want the public to buy into it?
I think that's part of it. I think also that their advisors, and some of them may very well be private contractors and consultants, are giving them a range of time and money, and they're choosing the far lower range rather than the more likely outcome.
Are there any examples of mega projects that were finished on time and at least at budget, if not under?
There were a couple. One was the Boston Harbor cleanup, and we actually took, when I was with the State Inspector General's office, we actually took a close look at comparing what was it about the MWRA, Boston Harbor cleanup, what factors likely contributed to them coming in on budget and on time, and there were several factors. One was that the cleanup was court-ordered. So you had a very high-level, powerful body or entity that was overseeing the project.
That makes sense to me, but I can't help thinking to projects that are not court-ordered, voluntary projects, which a large majority of both maybe the public and political officials believe are beneficial. For example, mass transit projects, tunneling projects, things that are public works projects. Wouldn't, if we came up with realistic timetables and cost estimates, if the public didn't feel that it was being fleeced, wouldn't it be more accepting in general of these projects as opposed to feeling like, oh my God, they've done it to us again?
It seems like it to me. I mean, I frankly do not understand why project managers and leaders, and this is certainly, I've seen many examples in the public sector where that happens, and I think a huge contributing factor is that they're operating in a highly politicized environment, and they're dealing with wanting to maintain political support and public momentum, and also anticipating changes in political officials, and that contributes. But I'm astounded, honestly, at the number of examples there are of this underestimation.
Wendy Haynes studies public administration and mega projects at Bridgewater State University in Massachusetts. Seattle's very own mega project, the Waterfront Tunnel, is behind schedule and over budget. It's The Record.